بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد.
We were talking about the 25 practical tips or the action points mentioned by Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum about the tazkiyatun nafs and purification of the soul. He is one of the top of the list, greatest, all-time greatest scholars of our glorious history, and among those who have already reached the destination. Because if you are yourself al-insanul kamil, a perfect human, then you have the right to guide others towards the kamal, which means perfection of humanity, which is actually the ultimate goal for the creation of the humankind. I already talked about 6 of those 25 action points. The last one we were talking about sadaqah and charity. The 6th one was sadaqah and charity. That means giving charities. And I elaborately mentioned some of those important points related to charity and how to give the charity and what type of charities are considered to be the best among all. The 7th and 8th points among the 25 practical tips we inshallah will discuss tonight. The 7th one was al-muhafaza ala haqqin ma'loom. He says that the Holy Quran has said walladhina fi amwalihim haqqun ma'loom lis-sa'ili wal-mahroom. So in the light of this these verses of Holy Quran, we understand that it is one of the sifat and attributes of every mu'min and believer that he has a share in his money for 2 categories of people, sa'il and mahroom. Sa'il is a person who begs, who asks, who is soliciting. So somebody who asks, this is one category of a person who has the guts to come forward and ask, or doesn't feel hesitant in asking. The other category of the people are mahroom. That means those who are deprived. So deprived is that category, as it is elaborated in the tafsir by our great scholars. What I'm saying is in the light of the tafsir. Mahroom is those of the people who are needy. They stand in need, but they feel embarrassed. They feel hesitant. They feel shy. They don't want to insult themselves. They don't want to humiliate themselves in front of the community. They are respectable people, so they don't like to come and ask and, you know, stretch out their hand in front of the people and start begging. But that doesn't mean that they don't stand in need. It's the job of a mu'min person to take care of those respectable, honored people who do not solicit in the public. They are dignified and noble people sitting in their homes. If we can find out and provide what they need, provide their needs of life to them without allowing them to get humiliated. This is something which is extremely appreciated by Allah, and that was the tradition of all our imams. That was the tradition of the Holy Prophet, that they used to give sadaqat and charities to not just the sa'il who comes and asks straight away, even to the mahroom people. And maybe most of their charities were the most segment and largest portion of their charities was hiddenly given to those who deserved it. The eighth practical point was al-muhafaza ala hajjatil Islam. That means protecting our wajib hajj. Hajjatul Islam is an istilah and terminology that we use for the wajib and compulsory pilgrimage to Makkah. So if you go for any other hajj, somebody gives you money, somebody basically sponsors you or says, well, I can afford your expenditure, I will take you to hajj. But this kind of hajj is very good. You can go and the guy is going to get the sawab because he's taking you, he's bearing all the expenses, but your wajib hajj will not be taken care of like this. This hajj that you are going to perform is a mustahab and recommended hajj. So we do not call Hajjatul Islam to this hajj. Hajjatul Islam is the first wajib hajj that you perform. So for those of the people who have hajj wajib on their neck, so because they are mustati and capable, and I mentioned already there are three things which are an impact in determining the term mustati, capable, quote unquote, upon whom hajj and pilgrimage to Makkah is wajib. First is your health. You must be capable in terms of your sihat and health that you are able to go. Second of all, your wealth. That means you have that much finances, you know, whatever $6,000 is the expense nowadays. Let's suppose you have that sort of money on you, you can go and afford it and you can go there. And third of all, the path, the ways, the visa regulations, the traveling regulations allow you to travel and go. If you have these three things fulfilled, then you are mustati and capable, and hajj will be wajib on you before spending those $6,000 on any other thing of your life. First thing you've got to do is go for hajj and do your wajib hajj. Other things come later. First things first. If somebody has the hajj on him, man mata walam yahij hajjatul Islam walam yamna'hu min dhalika hajatun tajhafu bihi aw maradun la yutiq al hajj min ajlihi aw sultanun yamna'uhu falyamut in sha'a yahudiyan wa in sha'a nasraniyan. Someone who can perform the hajj basically but still doesn't go for it, he's not going to die as a Muslim person. Maybe a Yahudi or a Nasrani, but not a Muslim. Ninth of those of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and the A'imma alayhim as-salam. Ziyarat means paying a visit. And this concept includes paying a visit to the Prophet or the Imams, whether they are dead or alive. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Because even if they are shaheed and they are, all of them are martyrs, Quran has already informed us that the shaheed is alive. So we are not supposed to consider them as dead. So in all the cases, whether they are dead or alive, going for their ziyarat, paying a visit to them, whether if one of them is alive, like Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is alive today, if someone has access to the Imam, and if we don't have access to him, then at least we can go and pay a visit to the graves of the Prophet and any of the Imams. Specifically, Sayyidul Shuhada, Imam Husayn ibn Ali, our third Imam, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. The ziyarat of Imam Husayn has been considered by Islam as an icon and symbol. If you look at the Islamic teachings, you have a panoramic view of the Islamic teachings, you can easily discover that ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam is basically one of the most important top of the list agenda items for a mu'min. Extremely emphasized upon Islamic teaching. A teaching which is extremely emphasized upon. In Kamilu Ziyarat, it has been narrated that Ziyarat of Imam Husayn alayhi salam is a fariza, it's a duty on every mu'min. And whosoever doesn't perform it, he has actually left one of the haqq and rights of Rasulullah, Allah and His Messenger. So someone who doesn't go for the ziyarat of Imam Husayn, he has neglected a right, a haqq of Allah and a right and haqq of Rasulullah. So look at the importance that the hadith considers it to be a fariza, a duty. Of course it's not wajib. Fariza here does not mean wajib. It means it's an extremely emphasized, recommended act. Right next to the border of wajib. And another hadith says that every imam has an ahd and covenant on the neck of his followers. And among those, is that we do the ziyarat, that means we go and pay a visit to their graves. This is part of the covenant and ahad that every imam has on the neck of the believers. So again in Kamilu Ziyara, which is considered to be one of the mother books of du'as in our religion, there is a hadith narrated in Kamilu Ziyara from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that كان الحسين بن علي عليه السلام ذات يوم في حجر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يلاعبه ويضحكه. Imam Husayn alayhi salam was in the lap of the Prophet, and Prophet was playing with him and making him laugh, making him smile, making him be happy. In other words, فقالت عائشة, the wife of the Prophet Aisha, said to him, يا رسول الله ما أشد إعجابك بهذا الصبي. How much you are happy with this child. That means how much this child makes you happy. فَقَالَ لَهَا, Prophet said to her, وَيْلَكِ وَكَيْفَ لَا أُحِبُّهُ وَلَا أُعْجِبُ بِهِ وَهُوَ ثَمَرَةُ فُؤَادِي وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنِي. How can I not love him and not like him? In other words, he is the fruit of my heart and a matter of peace and satisfaction for me. And ama inna ummati sataqtuluhu, my nation is soon going to kill him. Faman zarahu ba'da wafatihi kataballahu lahu hajjatan min hujaji. Whosoever pays a visit to Imam Husayn alayhi salam, Allah will give him the reward. Allah will write for him the reward of one hajj among my hajj. That means not the hajj that me and you perform, the hajj that Rasulullah performed. The hajj of Rasulullah has, you can understand, a very, the highest level of reward. So Prophet says, whosoever pays a visit to him after his death, Allah will write for him the reward, in other words, the reward of one of my hajjs. قالت يا رسول الله حجة من حججك, that means one of your hajj. And she was expressing her surprise how much paying a visit for Imam Hussein is such a high reward. So Prophet said, Na'am wa hajjatain min hajaji. That means, yes, Allah is going to give him rewards of two of my hajj. Prophet doubled the reward. Then she again expressed her surprise by saying that, قَالَتْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَجَّتَيْن مِنْ حَجَجِكَ قَالَ نَعَمْ وَأَرْبَعَ. Prophet again made it double. Now Prophet said, yes, Allah is going to give him four, reward of four of my hajj. And still the riwayat Imam Sadiq al-Salam says that Prophet, she continued, and Prophet continued to increase and make it double. فَلَمْ تَزَلْ تَزَادُهُ وَيَزِيدُ وَيُضَاعِفْ حَتَّى بَلَغَ تِسْعِينَ حَجَّةً مِنْ حَجَجِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأَعْمَارِهَا. So Prophet continued, with that until he reached 90. That means anyone who goes for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam will get the reward of 90 hajj performed by Rasulullah. So having said that, you can understand that how much importance it is. It's not something ordinary, it is something extraordinary in the eyes of Allah. Another hadith, just to give you an idea about its importance, so we do not underestimate the importance of ziyarat at all in our lives. Another hadith from Kamil al-Ziyara, and this is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abi Ya'fur, one of the greatest companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, you know, and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So he says that سَمِعْتُ أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَقُولُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن مُوَالِيهِ يَا فُلَانَ أَتَزُورُ قَبْرَ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ حُسَيْنِ ابْنِ عَلِي عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. I heard Imam Sadiq talking to one of his followers, do you visit the grave? Imam said to him, do you visit the grave of Imam, of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? In other words, he said, نَعَمْ إِنِّي أَزُورُهُ بَيْنَ ثَلَاثِ سِنِينَ مَرَّةً. Once in 3 years, I pay a visit to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Imam heard that, فَقَالَ لَهُ وَمُصْفَرٌ وَجْهُهُ, his face was pale. Imam said to him, أَمَا وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَوْ زُرْتَهُ كَانَ أَفْضَلْ مِمَّا أَنْتَ فِيهِ. I swear to God, to that God, there is no God worthy of worshipping other than Him, that if you had paid a visit to Imam Hussein, that would have been better for you from in this situation from which you are in right now. That means your current situation would have been better than this. فَقَالَ لَهُ جُعِلْتُ فِدَاكَ أَكُلْ هَذَا الْفَضْلِ. That high fadl and reward, he expressed his surprise again. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, نَعَمْ وَاللَّهِ لَوْ إِنِّي حَدَّثْتُكُمْ بِفَضْلِ زِيَارَتِهِ وَبِفَضْلِ قَبْرِهِ لَتَرَكْتُمُ الْحَجِّ رَأْسًا وَمَا حَجَّ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٍ. If I had mentioned to you the fadilat and reward of the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you would have left going for Hajj and none of you would have gone for Hajj. So basically we find that the fadilat of the ziyarat is so much that people would forget about Hajj, they will forget going for Hajj, they will just quit the pilgrimage to Makkah and start going towards Karbala if they understood. And then Imam said, وَيْحَكَ أَمَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ كَرْبَلَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا مُبَارَكًا قبل أن يتخذ مكة حراما. Don't you know that Allah took Karbala as haram, a secure place and a mubarak and blessed place before Allah considered Makkah to be a haram? That means Karbala was considered to be a haram and holy and sacred place by Allah before He started to consider Makkah to be as a haram. That's the second hadith. Now you can understand why our great Urafa have been stressing in those 25 practical tips about this great value of Islam, that means going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala. Hadith number 3 from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, which is narrated in Biharul Anwar by Allama Madlisi rahmatullah alayhi, volume 99, where Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam said, "Man zarani ala bu'de dari ataytuhu yawm al-qiyamah fi thalath mawatin hatta ukhallisahu min ahwaliha." Whosoever pays a visit to me, Imam Ridha is talking about himself, anybody who goes for the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, which is of course in Mashhad, anybody who goes for the ziyarat of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, ala bu'de dari, despite the fact that my place is far away. Imam Ridha alayhi salam is buried, you know, far away from the rest of the Imams. So of course his place, his city, Mashhad, is away from the rest of the cities where the Imams are buried, or where the most of the population, majority of the population of his followers in those days were far away from his place of burial. So he says, whosoever goes for my ziyarat, despite the fact that my place is far away, I will come to him on the Day of Judgment at 3 occasions, and I will set him free from the scares of those 3 places. First, إِذَا تَطَيَّرَتِ الْكُتُبْ يَمِينًا وَشِمَالًا. First place is when the books of deeds will be flying right and left. He is talking about this mawqif of Qiyamah, which we call تَطَيُّرُ الْكُتُبْ. Actually, when you lay down a dead person in the grave and we read the talqeen, those important points that we make remind him at the time of death, in one of those important points we mention وَتَطَايُرَ الْكُتُبِ حَقٌّ. That means the flying of the books is a reality. Flying of the books is that station on the Day of Judgment which has 50 stops and stations, and we will be stopped and we will be asked specified questions in those 50 stops. First of those mawaqif and stations is the death, and of course it continues. So basically one of those stations is Tatayur al-Kutub, where the books of deeds will be flying and left and right, and those people who are the evil doers will be given their book into their left hands, or it will be hanging in their necks, or it will be given from behind their back. So it will be flying up, and people will be really scared how at the end of the day, how will they end up receiving their book of deeds, because that is going to show your eternal destiny. If it is handed over into your right hand, then you are bound to go to the paradise. Otherwise, any other way of handing over the book of deeds to you means that the person is bound to go to the hell. So at that occasion I'm going to come and save him from the scare. وَعِنْدَ الصِّرَاطِ, in other words, that's what Imam Allah is trying to say. وَعِنْدَ الصِّرَاطِ, and at the place of bridge, we know there is a bridge crossing through the hellfire. Some scholars say over the hellfire, but most of the scholars say this bridge of Sirat crosses through the hellfire, and it's thinner than the hair and sharper than the edge of the sword and darker than the night. أَظْلَمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. So every single person, including the prophets and the imams, has to cross over the bridge. And this is passing through the hellfire, and the fire is going to take punishment, compensation for all the wrongs, zulm and harams that the people have done towards the people. So here the compensation will be done. So no one can cross the Sirat unless and until he has a license written by Imam Ali alayhi salam's handwriting. لا يجوز أحد الصراط إلا من كتب له علي الجواز. So that's the second place where Imam Ridha alayhi salam has guaranteed that he will come to save the person when he will be crossing over the Sirat. وَعِنْدَ الْمِيزَانِ. These are some of the most needed places where we stand in need. Extremely, we stand in need at all the places, but specifically in these three, because these are the most crucial, hassas and crucial stages of a person on the Day of Judgment. Mizan means the scale. That means when our beliefs and actions will be measured. So that is also going to decide our destiny, because you know how we behaved will become obvious, how much weight a person is carrying with him, and how many people are how many good deeds and their weight, and bad deeds and their burdens. So this is the hadith number 3, and then we go to the hadith number 4 again, which is also from Kamil al-Ziyara, where Amr ibn Uthman al-Razi has narrated from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam that man lam yaqdir an yazurana falyazur salihi mawalina. Please pay attention to this. This is another aspect of the concept of ziyarat in Islam. Anyone who is unable to pay a visit to us, he must go and pay a visit to our salih followers. Look, find, search the salih mu'mineen and salih followers of Ahlul Bayt. You cannot go and pay a visit to the graves of Ahlul Bayt. You cannot go to Karbala, you cannot go to Najaf, you cannot go to Medina, you cannot go to Mashhad. Fine, if you cannot, at least you have to find out some of the salih and really pious followers of Ahlul Bayt. Go and pay a visit to them in their houses. يُكْتَبُ لَهُ ثَوَابُ زِيَارَتِنَا. Imam Ridha alayhi salam said, so the sawab and reward of our ziyarat will be written for him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَىٰ صِلَتِنَا فَلْيَسِلْ صَالِحِ مَوَالِينَا. And whosoever is unable to keep a relation with us, you know, sila means to continue having, you know, you paying a visit, keeping in touch. Basically, keeping in touch, in other words. If you cannot keep in touch with the Ahlul Bayt, at least keep in touch with the salih and really pious followers. يُكْتَبْ لَهُ ثَوَابُ سِلَتِنَا. It will be written for you the reward of, you have been keeping in touch with the Ahlul Bayt. And likewise, we find Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha says that دخل علي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وقد افترشت فراشي للنوم. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, that means the Prophet came into her house, whereas I had already lied down to sleep. وقال يا فاطمة. Prophet said, O Fatima, لا تنامي إلا وقد Amilti arba'atan. Don't sleep unless you have performed 4. Khatamtil Quran, you have finished the Quran. Waj'altil anbiya'a shufa'aki, and you made all the prophets of God as your shufa'a, those who will do intercession and favor you. So make the prophets of God your shufa'a, to favor you and do intercession for you. Wa ardaytil mu'minina min nafsiki, and you make all the mu'mineen happy towards you. Wa hajajti wa tamarti, and that you have performed a hajj and an umrah. Qala hada wa akhadhani akhadha fi salati. Prophet said that statement to me and he started his prayers. Fa sabartu hatta atamma salatahu. I waited till the Prophet finished his prayers. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَمَرْتَ بِأَرْبَعَةٍ وَلَا أَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهَا أَمَرْتَ بِأَرْبَعَةٍ لَا أَقْدِرْ عَلَيْهَا فِي هَذَا الْحَالِ. I said to him that, oh the Messenger of Allah, you commanded to do four things, that means, but I'm unable to do that in this situation. فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Prophet smiled. وقال and said, إذا قرأت قل هو الله أحد ثلاث مرات فكأنك ختمت القرآن. If you read Surah قل هو الله أحد 3 times, as if you have finished the entire Quran. That means before you go to sleep, if you read the Surah قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد 3 times, as if you have finished the entire Quran. وإذا صليت على علي وعلى الأنبياء قبلي kunna shufa'aki yawm al-qiyamah. And if you send salawat on me and all the prophets of God before me, we will be your shufa'a. That means we are going to do the intercession for you and shufa'at for you on the Day of Judgment. وَإِذَا إِسْتَغْفَرْتِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَضُوا كُلُّهُمْ عَنْكِ. And if you do istighfar for all the mu'mineen, that means before you go to sleep, you pray that Allah forgives the sins of all the mu'mineen. If you do istighfar, if you seek forgiveness for all the mu'mineen, all the believers, all of them will be pleased with you. وَإِذَا قُلْتِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ فَقَدْ حَجَجْتِ وَاعْتَمَرْتِ. And if you say this beautiful, this statement, Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, which we call at-tasbihatul arba'ah, then if you say this statement, what Prophet said, if you say this statement, this if you say faqad hajajti wa'tamarti, so certainly you have done a hajj and an umrah. So we understand that this statement is going to provide us the reward of one hajj and one umrah, if we can all do these things very easily before sleep. It's just a matter of how much we are particular about the teachings. And the ziyarat concept like I said in the beginning, not just in the lifetime but also after the death. Another hadith says that أخبرني, this is also from Hazrat Zahra salam Allah alayha, she says that أخبرني أبي وهو ذا أنه من سلم عليه وعلي ثلاثة أيام أوجب الله له الجنة. Prophet said, he informed me, Hazrat Zahra says, Prophet informed me, my father informed me, whoever says salam on him and on me, that means on Hazrat Zahra, on the Prophet and on Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, salasata ayyamin, for 3 days. Whoever sends his salam on the Prophet and on Hazrat Fatima alayha salam for 3 days, Allah makes the paradise wajib for him. Qultu laha, I said to her, fi hayatihi wa hayatika, in the lifetime, in other words, basically, she said, "Na'am, wa ba'da mawtina." She says that the Prophet said that even after our death, that it's not just this hukum is not specific to the lifetime only. That if somebody pays a visit to the Holy Prophet, in his lifetime, says salam to the Holy Prophet, in his lifetime, he's gonna get this reward. Even after they have passed away, still, if we say salam to them, it is going to earn us that reward. And so this is one aspect. Now, nowadays, well, ziyarat is not something which is that much big a deal to go to for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. We had very, very hard times in the history about ziyarat. This is basically something which is very easy nowadays. If you compare to the times of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas, la'natullahi alayhim, if you compare to the times of Mutawakkil Al-Abbasi, la'anatullah alayhi, who used to punish those people who went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain, then you would understand that doing ziyarat today is just like a piece of cake. In the time of Mutawakkil, he used to cut the hands of everyone who is going for ziyarat of Imam Hussain. There were soldiers of Mutawakkil standing at the entrance of the haram of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and they used to cut the right hand of everyone who enters into the haram. And still, the followers of Ahlul Bayt did not stop the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. The ziyarat never stopped, ever in the history. And this old lady who went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the time of Mutawakkil, And the soldier of Mutawakkil said, extend your right hand so that I can cut it. And she extended her left arm. And the soldier screamed, didn't you hear what I said? Extend your right hand. She said, you guys already cut my right hand last year when I came for the ziyarat of Hussain ibn Ali. So I don't have a right hand any longer. I only have the left hand remaining. So people used to get their hands cut, but never stopped the ziyarat of Imam Hussain. And they got their rewards. Right now, going for ziyarat is not a big deal. It's just a matter of tawfiq and importance. Lots of people don't care. Lots of people don't give importance to these things. Also, it's narrated by Mu'alla ibn Khunais, one of the very great companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who was also killed by the Zalim rulers in those days. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said that إِذَا إِنْصَرَفَ الرَّجُلْ مِنْ إِخْوَانِكُمْ مِنْ زِيَارَتِنَا أَوْ زِيَارَةِ قُبُورِنَا فَاسْتَقْبِلُوهُ وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِ وَهَنِّئُوهُ بِمَا وَهَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. Whenever one of your brothers comes back from our ziyarat or from the ziyarat of our graves, that means the person visits one of the imams in their lifetime or he visits one of the imams' graves, that means after their death. فَاسْتَقْبِلُوهُ, you got to welcome him. وَسَلِّمُوا عَلَيْهِ, say salam on him. وَهَنِّئُوهُ, say congratulations to him, congratulate him. بِمَا وَهَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ, for what Allah awarded him. فَإِنَّ لَكُمْ مِثْلَ ثَوَابِهِ, if you do that, you are going to get the similar reward, that means the same reward that he got for doing the ziyarat, you are going to get the same reward if you welcome one of your mu'mineen, say salam on him and say tabriq towards that mu'min, congratulate him, you are going to get the same reward that he has got for the ziyarat of our family. Like I said in the beginning, it's not the matter of money, is the matter of ikhlas and niyat and ma'rifat. If you are sincere towards earning the sawab, Islam, the sawab and reward in Islam is so easy to get. If you cannot go to the graves, at least you can always welcome somebody who has gone to the grave. It doesn't cost you no money. But if you have ikhlas towards the Ahlul Bayt, you would do that. And if you do that, you're going to get the same sawab that he got. And then Imam alayhi salam said, that وَيَغْشَاكُمْ ثَوَابٌ مِثْلَ ثَوَابِهِ, and there will be a reward engulfing you similar to the reward of his. مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, from the mercy of Allah. وَإِنَّهُ مَا مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَزُورُنَا أَوْ يَزُورُ قُبُورَنَا إِلَّا غَشِيَتْهُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَغُفِرَتْ لَهُ ذُنُوبُهُ. There isn't a person who pays a visit to us or visits our graves except that the rahmat of Allah, you know, covers him up. That means he is covered up from all the sides with the rahmat and mercy of Allah. وَغُفِرَتْ لَهُ ذُنُوبُهُ, and all of his sins are forgiven. Certainly, we must understand that we are talking about, the hukukun nas, and the rights of the people can never be forgiven. Let's be very clear. The huquq of Allah, the rights of God can be forgiven, but the rights of the people, we need to take care of the rights of the people. If we did anything wrong towards any our fellow, brother, then we must apologize, we must compensate, we must fulfill, we must, seek forgiveness towards the rights and take care of those rights. Every imam, when you go and pay a visit to the grave of every imam, we go and do the ghusl. Isn't that right? It's part of the adab and etiquettes. Before you even enter into the haram, you do the ghusl in your restaurant, in your hotel, wherever you are staying. You do the ghusl and then you enter into the haram. Except for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. It is not mustahab. It is not recommended in the sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam
that when you go to Karbala for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain, you go and do ghusl first and then you go into the haram. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to go and visit Imam Hussain's grave with exactly the same ghubar and dust that has settled over your body. Go and visit the grave with the same ghubar and dust on your body. Allah loves to see that. This is Imam Hussain. This is not an ordinary ziyarat. Even the ghubar and dust that settles on the person from the dust which is being mobilized by the movement of the zaireen of Imam Hussain is an element for forgiveness of the sins. So basically ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is something which cannot be ignored, and I think the time has finished, and we will continue with the 10th point insha'Allah, which is al-muhafaza ala huquqil ikhwan wa qawa hawa'ijihim. That means taking care of the rights of our brothers and fulfilling the needs of our fellow mu'min brothers. That's the 10th practical point that we will inshallah discuss on the next lesson inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.